Hello, I'm Jennifer Geisler, and welcome to this special podcast on Cisco Borlase Networks for Education. My guest today is Larry Payne. He's the Area Vice President for Cisco's State and Local Government and Education Sales. Now, Larry's going to help us understand what Cisco means by Borlase Networks, and more importantly, how a Borlase Network is relevant to schools, colleges, and universities. Larry, welcome to today's show.
Well, hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's just dive right in here. I mean, we've heard Cisco talk a lot about Borlase Networks. So, first of all, what is it? And then why is it so important?
Well, Cisco Borlase Networks is both a business and a technical architecture. So, let me explain what I mean. We talk a lot to our customers, and some of the common themes that emerge are our business or institution would be more efficient if only the network could do this or that. Well, from this emerges a set of challenges, what we choose to call borders. For example, one theme is the network is no longer just PCs and laptops. You have all sorts of devices competing for and trying to use the network. In education networks, this change is largely coming from students. They've adopted all of these new devices, iPhones, smartphones. You know, they come sometimes with 8 devices that they want to network. Everything from, as I mentioned before, iPhones, smartphones, laptops, iPods, gaming systems, and they're leveraging applications like Facebook and Twitter. But we also see wireless access points, security cameras, and other devices. So how do you get all these devices onto a common IP network while still maintaining security, availability, and quality of service? How can the network know that the traffic from a device providing video for remote learning is more important than someone playing an online game during their lunch hour?
Well, Larry, I suppose if you've proposed the questions, I'm going to assume that you actually have answers to those questions.
Of course, Jennifer. So these are precisely the types of challenges that Cisco Borlase Networks is designed to address. Now that I've just described what we call the device border, it is not enough just to connect these devices to the network and hope they work. They need a complete and flexible identification and authorization system like Cisco Identity-Based Network Services. You need to provide high availability for them because more and more teachers and professors are depending on technology as part of the curriculum. You have to identify the data flows, prioritize them above all others, and protect them from other data flows. So what you really need is an intelligent and full-featured infrastructure to pull all this off. And oh, by the way, did I mention that you have to do it for both the wired and the wireless network?
Yes, you did. And I'll tell you, when it comes to students, you better be wired and wireless as well. So the larger question I have then is, since we're talking about Borlase Networks, is it the Borlase Network that provides this for the schools? I mean, is it about the infrastructure that they provide here?
Oh, absolutely. Although the problem extends beyond devices, it has something to do with people, too. Any modern school, college, or university has a large collection of people who are stakeholders in education. These people are located both inside and outside the walls of the educational institution. Well, students, faculty, staff, parents, even local law enforcement for security, who might be providing safety and security, you name it. How do you integrate all of these people yet still maintain security and confidentiality?
Well, that is definitely a significant challenge, or should I say border in this case.
And that it has relevance for education. I was talking about local law enforcement. It makes sense to give them access to school, college, and university security systems like IP surveillance cameras or digital media displays so they can respond effectively to any security incident. But at the same time, to protect students' privacy, you don't want them to have access to student academic records. And that works the other way around, too. The student shouldn't have access to the security network to limit incidents of abuse or digital vandalism. That means you need a very rich set of policies that can be enforced across the network.
And to your point, Larry, I mean, when combining these networks onto a common infrastructure is a very powerful concept. I mean, I was reading about one school in the United States that estimates it's saving $500,000 by combining its networks for voice, video, data, public address, bells, and building systems all onto one. So there is definitely a cost benefit here.
And that's an excellent example. But this is a fine line you need to walk. Of course, you need to enforce security. But at the same time, you shouldn't be punished for your current location. Your experience of the network and applications within the limits of what you're allowed to do according to security policy should be the same wherever you are. Same performance, same security, same seamless experience. If the network can't deliver that experience, we call that a location border and is one of the areas Cisco Borderless Network addresses. You need high-performance, high-scale VPN, application optimization, and virtualization technologies like those in Cisco's borderless networks to handle outside people coming into your education network. At the same time, you need a flexible mobility infrastructure for students and faculty inside the network. This has obvious relevance to education. More and more, education is becoming both an inside and outside the traditional classroom activity.
I like this. So location shouldn't matter.
Exactly, except for one thing. And that is the physical locations of valuable assets still need to be tracked. This tracking not only saves faculty and staff time when trying to locate these shared assets, but also provides protection against loss or theft. So location does matter when you're trying to track down projectors or laptops or things like that. Maybe it's better to say that the network should be location aware, knowing where things or people are when it matters, but optimizing the experience so that remote or mobile users can have the same level of productivity as local wired users.
And I agree with that. Now, what you've covered so far is you covered devices and locations as far as borders. Larry, are there any other borders in education that we need to be aware of?
Well, another big one is the application border. We're also seeing more applications being deployed in the cloud, software as a service, for things like distance learning. Also, we are seeing more and more schools adding Web 2.0 collaboration and video applications to their curriculum.
Wow. I mean, education has actually changed a lot from when I was a kid, but I won't tell you about those days when it was uphill both ways. But this anytime, anywhere learning is really exciting. And I'll say from a parent standpoint, it's very engaging for the students.
Exactly. That's the type of benefit we're talking about. Just like devices, you can't just throw voice and video and collaboration onto your network and hope for the best. You need to increase your bandwidth in certain locations. Maybe implement a 10 gig Ethernet core, even a 10 gigabit Ethernet uplink in the closet. You need to be able to identify video and voice streams automatically. You need to be able to control the path they are taking over the network, and you need to monitor how they're performing. That's why Cisco's MediaNet is an integral part of Cisco's borderless network architecture. It provides a framework for deploying rich media applications on a Cisco network.
Well, and we definitely all love video, so it's a good thing that we have MediaNet. Now, we have devices, we have locations, and you just touched application border. Got that. Now, does it stop there? Is that it?
Actually, Jennifer, there's one more, and it's kind of unusual. We like to think that the network, because it increasingly touches everything in an education environment, can provide additional value to other parts of the system. One obvious area where that can happen is in energy management. Now, energy is usually a concern of the facilities and physical plant part of the school, college, or university. The information technology department, if there even is one on smaller campuses, usually has a budget for energy, but it doesn't get too involved. It's just a line item in the overall education budget. We think that Cisco borderless networks can break down that organizational border and create better cooperation between IT and facilities in managing their energy costs. We have a technology called Cisco EnergyWise that lets customers intelligently measure, report, and reduce energy consumption across the entire school campus. They can optimize power delivery and reduce energy costs. We're releasing it in phases right now. The most recent phase expands the customer's sphere of control to include power over Ethernet devices like IP phones, wireless access points, and IP surveillance cameras, as well as PCs and laptops. The next phase of Cisco EnergyWise will further expand visibility to extend to facilities integration like lights, elevators, and heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're doing that through tighter integration with the Cisco Network Building Mediator, providing a more sustainable and cost-effective facility and an excellent way for IT to demonstrate their business value to the rest of the educational institution. That's why Cisco EnergyWise and sustainability in general is a key component of the Cisco borderless network architecture.
Wow, it's amazing to think that our network could actually do this. So this is definitely exciting times. So, okay, now let me end with a really tough question here. I think this is what our listeners are asking. Why Cisco? I mean, couldn't you just go out and construct a borderless network with another network vendor's equipment or a combination of network vendors' equipment to pull this thing all together?
Well, I'll be honest. I think there are a lot of answers to that. Starting at the technology level, do other vendors have identification and authorization technologies, for example? Yes, of course they have, but not as full-featured and flexible as Cisco identity-based network services. And I think you'll find that the same story with a lot of the technologies I've mentioned, policy control, quality of service, and so on. Then there are the pure differentiators like Cisco EnergyWise. No one else has anything like that to compare to it in the industry. Moving up from that, I think I have to return to something I said at the beginning of the podcast, that Cisco Borderless Networks is a business as well as technical architecture. Our goal, ultimately, is to solve business, or in this case, educational problems. And in order to do so, I think you need the broad portfolio of product and solutions that Cisco has. If we don't know the best way to get Cisco telepresence across the LAN and WAN, who would? And we have the design guides and deployment examples to support it. And finally, Cisco Borderless Networks provides the infrastructure for many of the education-specific solutions we have, solutions like Cisco Notify Ed, which lets you mass notify different stakeholder groups through multiple channels such as phone systems, text messaging, email messaging, mobile phones, and even LCD displays, or Cisco Cyberspace Action for Education, which provides a blueprint for online security for schools. There are actually many, many more. All of these are deployed on Cisco borderless network architecture. We know the needs of the technology, but we also know the needs of the educator, and in my opinion, are in the best position to fulfill both these needs.
Wow. So thank you for addressing that tough question. And we'll end on that note. Thank you, Larry. One other, I guess this is an easy question in closing. If people want more information, where should they go?
All right. That is an easy one. So the Borderless Network site is at www.cisco.com/go/borderless. You can also view a recent webcast we had about borderless networks at www.cisco.com/go/experience. And if you're interested in our solutions for education, go to www.cisco.com/go/education.
Yeah, and for our listeners there, I hope you notice the trend. It's all on the Cisco website, but you have the word go, then you can go to go borderless, go/experience, or go/education. So terrific. Thanks once again. My guest today has been Larry Payne, Area Vice President for Cisco State, Local Government, and Education Sales. I'm Jennifer Geisler. Until next time, thanks for listening.